The World Tomorrow. Ambassador College presents Garner Ted Armstrong, bringing you the plain truth about today's world news and the prophecies of the world tomorrow.
And greetings, friends around the world. This is Garner Ted Armstrong with the good news of the world tomorrow. Why so many people mentally ill today? Why so many mixed up and confused with mental problems? Around the world, it seems, we've got mental problems. In the United States, at the present rate, one out of every 12 children born every year will need to go to a mental hospital sometime during his life because of severe mental illness. In nations such as India, China, Malaya, other countries, especially in the Orient, it seems, mental debilities and sickness are at a great, tremendous high, and yet there are virtually no facilities for the treatment of such illnesses. In the United States and Great Britain, other nations supposedly right now better equipped to handle the problems than any others, yet it remains the number one health problem, believe it or not. Now, for example, in the United States alone, at least 10 million Americans, or one out of every 18 or so, are suffering from a mental or emotional disorder. And about 250,000 people will go to mental hospitals for the first time every single year, new patients every year. One out of every two patients going to a medical doctor is suffering from an illness which is tied up with a mental or emotional disorder, psychosomatic illnesses and so on. In other words, emotional disorders of one type or another. Now, the same is true for one out of three patients who go to general hospitals. Mental illness has been costing us over $1 billion a year in tax funds. Well, the facts are, it seems, endless, and they're absolutely appalling, but the question is, where's the solution? Where's the cure? What do we do about it? First of all, you've got to find the cause of all this turmoil. Where do we get the fears and worries? Where does it come from? Where does mental sickness begin? Perhaps from dozens of sources. You can put it all together and find the answer quite simply, really. For example, direct injury or damage to the brain, through injury or hereditary weakness, disease which might have affected the yet unborn fetus, later malnutrition, our dyes and sprays and fertilizers and additives and strontium 92, all of this put together certainly is a part of the cause. There are any number of a host of causes, but what I'm talking about is, what about the mixed up, confused, worried ones? The people with normally sound bodies and minds who simply can't think straight. The people who are filled with fears and worries, who have no actual injury to the brain, no special physical problem, just plain wrong thinking. Or the lack of any thinking at all. Where does all of this come from? Why so many emotional disorders today? And how do you solve it? Why are so many people filled with fear and frustration? Why are so few people able to make their own decisions today, even in business, in commonplace, everyday things? Why is divorce such a great sociological problem, stemming around a lot of emotional frustrations and weaknesses and debilities? Why so many uncertainties about the future? Why are so many people not even wanting to hear, apparently, about news releases about what's going on over in the Kremlin? Or about the situation in Europe, or about the economic straits of the nation, or about the weather picture, or something else? Why would we rather blind our minds to reality and kid ourselves the problems don't exist? Because people today are filled with fears and worries and have a monstrous tidal wave of uncertainty and doubt and don't know where to go to get the answers. Well, now, believe it or not, you can find the answers in your Bible. Jesus Christ of Nazareth came with the good news of a coming world-ruling government of how these problems are going to be solved. And do you know that once you know the gospel, that once you've heard the good news that Jesus brought, you don't have any reason to worry about anything anymore? Now, I'm not talking about a spiritual tranquilizer, something to put a nice, serene smile of laxity and lethargy on your face and make you think that everything's going to work out somehow. Just kind of kid yourself about it. I don't mean that at all. I mean putting in the place of the worry and the cause and the source of uncertainty. I mean putting in that place real faith, real knowledge, actual, tangible, real knowledge of how it is all going to work out. You know, over in the first chapter of the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul gave the real reason why all mankind, generally speaking, is having mental problems today, fears and worries and all the sociological problems that come with wrong thinking. Because God said that originally all that which may be known of God, the principles of God, the truths of God, the laws of God, the very foundation and basis of all knowledge and of all right thinking and of all sound-mindedness. That is manifest. It's evident. God has shown it to the philosophers of old, to those who are still today looked upon as the fathers of all education and knowledge, those who are looked upon with awe and aplomb even today, the writers of yesteryear, clear back during the Hellenistic cultures of Greece and Rome. And yet God says, even though those men did not believe in one God, and a lot of them laid the groundwork of modern-day atheism, yet God said the very things of God, invisible though they may be to the average human being, were clearly seen by those men. That they are clearly seen today. They are evident. They're obvious. You can see them. He says in verse 20 of the first chapter of Romans, the invisible things of him, that's about God, from the creation of the world are clearly seen. That means by looking at the physical, you can see the spiritual in type and you can come to understand it. Are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. And then he said in verse 21, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, in their reasonings, their methods of thinking, their very thought processes, and their foolish heart was darkened. Later he said in verse 28 of the first chapter of Romans, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And there it is. When you throw God out of your knowledge, when you do not know and understand the truth of God, the gospel that Almighty God gave Jesus Christ and sent to this earth, when you don't have the very foundation for right thinking of the Bible and of the knowledge of God, then there is an actual law, a law of your mind that is being broken, believe it or not. It's just as active, just as real as the law of gravity. When you don't know about God, when you don't study into God's Word, when you don't let God guide and rule in your mind and show you the paths to right thinking and to balanced minds and to real faith and to look toward the future with a sense of confidence and of a knowing of how it's going to work out, when you don't have that basis and that background, then you are breaking a law that regulates your own mind. And you're going to begin suffering the penalties. Now, whether it's just minor fears and worries, whether it's just problems in your home, problems with your mate, problems with your own self, or whether or not it gets right down to real severe mental illness, that depends upon the severity of it. It depends upon how deeply you go into the very practices that God describes are the sure result of throwing the knowledge of God out of your mind. He said here in verse 28 of Romans 1, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Then he said, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy. And aren't all of these things, after all, emotions? Aren't they the result of wrong thinking? What is covetousness but an inordinate evil desire of wanting something that you can't and shouldn't have and haven't earned and then can't pay for? And doesn't that lead to frustration? And isn't that just the wrong emotion? He talked about maliciousness. He said full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, and so on. He went on to show how they're disobedient to parents, without understanding, without natural affection, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Once you throw the knowledge of God to the ground, you have thrown the platform and the basis of sound thinking to the ground, of a balanced mind, a balanced wholesome, right, and normal outlook. Believe it or not, it might sound shocking to many people. They think, well, surely you can have a sound mind without having to go into religion. A lot of people would tell you that going into religion means you get into a lack of sanity. And you know, depending upon which religion you're talking about and the extremes to which many people go in something which is not the religion of God, certainly not the gospel of Jesus Christ, I would agree with you. I would say that you can look around the world in some of the pagan religions of the past and in some of the practices of people today under the guise of religion, all claiming to get it out of the same book, and if that is not absolute fanaticism, and if it doesn't go into almost such fanatical extremism, that it is virtual insanity. Then I don't know what insanity is. Yes, that's true. People have gone insane just over religion. But my friends, nobody's ever gone insane over the truth of God. No one has ever gone insane over the Bible, not if they had been studying it God's way, not if they had been letting God himself reveal his truth to them. No, the very root cause, when all is said and done, aside from injuries, and aside from any malnutrition, aside from all of the hazards of our foods and drugs and our chemicals and fertilizers and all the rest of today, which certainly is damaging to brain tissue, the medical authorities are telling us that. Aside from all of these other many social causes, such as poor backgrounds and broken homes, you can put all that in one great big lump. But aside from every bit of that, the one basic root cause behind all of it is a lack of the knowledge of God. Because the knowledge of God would lead to right farming and right crops and a lack of these accidents and right practices on the part of human beings, so there wouldn't be all of these defects and these diseases that affect unborn fetuses, unborn children. The right knowledge of God, if it were lived, understood, and practiced by the community, would lead to the obeying of these laws that regulate mental and physical good health. And if you're obeying those laws, you're not breaking them. No mental debility and sickness, whether through injury, whether through heredity, malnutrition, any other cause or source, whether social pressures and environment, all are a result of the breaking of the laws of God that he set up to regulate society in the right way. And overall, and perhaps the biggest one of all, is simply because the human mind is made to need the knowledge of God. And without the knowledge of God, the human mind is incomplete. It is not quite all there. Solomon, in giving all of the principles about life itself and why we're here and the purpose in human existence, said, let us hear the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole of man. The word duty was inserted by translators in that final verse there, the final closing verses of the book of Ecclesiastes, where Solomon said this. But actually, the translators didn't know they were confusing the meaning by adding a word which was not in the original. Solomon meant exactly what he said. That when you fear God, when you come to a knowledge of God, you know God. Now, that doesn't mean to be in terror of him. It means to fear him in the sense of being aware of his magnificence, of his power, his office, his greatness, and of fearing to disobey because you know disobedience brings penalties down on you. And you're merely disobeying laws that God set for your good. No, fearing in the sense that any loving child would fear a loving father, would go to him in time of need, would be protected by him, comforted by him, and of course certainly loved by him, and the father would be very solicitous of that child's welfare, and yet the child should have a certain fear, not terror, not that kind of fear, but the right fear that God talks of in the Bible. That is the fear every loving son ought to have toward a loving father. And so it is that Solomon said, you fear God and keep his commandments, and you are whole. You're complete. You are all there. When you don't have the knowledge of God, when you don't know of God, you don't fear him, you're not living by and practicing his laws that he set for your own good, then you're not quite all there. There is something missing in your mind. And if something is missing in your mind is incomplete. And it leads to mental problems. Now, Jesus came with a message called the gospel of the kingdom of God. And the gospel that Christ brought was good news of an advanced coming world-ruling government, of how God is going to solve all the problems. And believe me, if you understood and really know and come to believe in and to practice all of these truths of the gospel, do you know that fears, uncertainties, and worries would simply flee out of your mind? There is no fear in love, the Apostle John said. Perfect love casts out fear. And a definite knowing, an absolute tangible knowledge of exactly how the world conditions are all going to work out, of exactly what your future holds, of how your family, your children, your loved ones, your parents are going to fare in the years ahead, of where we're headed, of where we're going, of what it all means, of the purpose in human life. When you get a knowledge of all of these things, there isn't any room for fears and worries. There's no more emotional problem, at least with regard to the future. Now, there could be emotional problems in the person because you haven't got your whole self conquered and haven't let God with His Spirit change that self and alter that self and get rid of these wrong thought processes and these wrong emotions yet. There's a lot of growing to do, that's certainly true. But nevertheless, once you begin to look into the gospel and get the truth of God about coming world conditions, about this message Jesus brought, a message for our day, a message of the future for our time now and of the time on beyond, a message of the coming world rule of Almighty God, then that certainly is the beginning of the solving of your problem. Then, once you do, let God come into you and begin to just conquer your mind and put right knowledge and right thinking within your mind. Then you're also told of the Apostle Paul that we are to grow in grace and knowledge. Now, Peter said that, but the Apostle Paul said in the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians that we are to grow in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a mature man. The word in the King James is perfect, or mature, full-grown man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, yet trotting off here and there and the other place after this idea and the other idea, down every blind alley, every box canyon imaginable, after every idea, whether political or theological, trying to solve our problems, just vacillating and fluctuating back and forth, hoping this will work and the other thing will work, and somehow it never does, and everything ends in frustration and we don't have peace. No, he said, finally, you'll come to real maturity, not being tossed about, carried back and forth by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But he said in verse 15 of the fourth chapter of Ephesians, but speaking the truth in love. What is the truth? Jesus said, thy word is truth. The word of God is truth. Speaking the truth, then, in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Yes, grow up in all things and become sound-minded. Now, later he said in the same chapter that it is like putting on a new man, like putting on a new self, becoming renewed. But he said it is in your mind where it happens. It's being renewed in mind. He's not going to make an 80-year-old person have a nice, robust 16-year-old body. He's not going to necessarily improve your memory. But he will certainly settle and solve your emotional problems, your mental anxieties and turmoils, and this will lead to right thinking, sound planning, correct decisions. He said in verse 22 of Ephesians 4, that you put off concerning the former conduct, as it should read, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Yes, right thinking, sound-mindedness, the lack of mental debilities and illnesses comes only with the mind of Almighty God. The young evangelist Timothy received a letter from Paul, where Paul said, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of love and of power and of a sound mind. The Spirit of God is the spirit of sound-mindedness, of right thinking, of coming to the knowledge of all the factors and making right decisions, a settled, stable, normal, balanced mind, the right kind of an outlook, no fear for the future, no worries about what's going to happen to you, how are you going to make ends meet, where do you go from here, what's the world condition going to be like in 10 years? What business should you get into? Should you marry this or that person? Should you get a divorce or something else? All the frightful frustrations and fears that people are constantly running up against today. Now, you need to write for an article that might help you a great deal on this subject, on how to conquer your fears. How to conquer your fears. You know, many people are afraid, literally afraid, to travel, to take a trip. Maybe a trip that God would want them to take to observe some of His absolute ironclad laws. But they've never traveled. They've never been out of their own county. And oftentimes, maybe they're elderly. They've never traveled beyond the limits of their own town or county or area. And they're just fearful about it. And they seemingly don't have the faith, the absolute faith and the conviction that if they're obeying God, God is going to take care of them. You know, people are fearful about a myriad number of things. Anything from going out at dark, and maybe you should be if you live in an area where that would be a potential danger. But anything from just moving normally in their own society
to coming to a decision. So many people want to rely on a specialist. They can't come to a concrete decision on their own. They don't know whether they ought to buy this or that, or move here or there, or apply for this job or the other one, or take this class or the other, or make this decision or the other. And they want to get all kinds of counsel from a so-called specialist. They're unable to evaluate the situation properly and then come to a concrete decision and have faith that that is the right decision because it's based on God's word. There just isn't very much sound-mindedness around today. You know, God prophesied it would be this way. He said one of the greatest scourges that would come to the peoples of Israel. And that might sound shocking. I haven't announced for quite some time now the booklet entitled The United States and the British Commonwealth in Prophecy. Find out where Israel is and write for that booklet. But he said one of the greatest scourges that would come on our peoples at this time is mental illness. Did you know that? You know that God absolutely predicted we would be suffering astonishment of hearts, as he calls it, that we would be having mental problems unparalleled in the history of any nation. Now, does it make any sense when you stop to think about it? Here we are in a supposedly enlightened society, a society where we're supposed to have more of the knowledge, more of the accumulation of knowledge, and more of the keys, more of the technical aids and helps to gain new knowledge than at any other time in the history of all the world. And yet, we have more mental debilities and more mental sicknesses than at any other time, apparently. And that's exactly what God said would occur to us. He said curses would come upon us. We would be cursed in our bodies and in our minds. He said we would have mental problems. That's exactly what he promised. Notice in the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, and in verse 27 and 8, where he is talking about our peoples during this time and pronouncing a curse upon us if we would let the knowledge of God fall to the ground. If we rejected God's laws, and he says we have, if we would turn our backs on him, think his Ten Commandments are done away, think he doesn't regulate the weather and farming and home life and businesses, and think that maybe our religion shouldn't have anything to do with our daily way of living. He said, you do that, and you're not only not going to have all these tremendous blessings I promised you of beautiful crops, perfect weather, robust, healthy, rosy-cheeked little children, happy homes and families, and long physical lives, protection from your enemies from without, no taxation, no military conscription. Oh, he promised such blessings you couldn't begin to imagine them all. He said, not only will I take all those blessings away from you, I'll let all kinds of abuse heap on you. And he said, you'll be cursed in the city and in the field and in the basket and store. He said in verse 18 of the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, cursed shall be the fruit of your body. And today, vast numbers of little children are absolutely twisted little kiddies that are just maimed even at birth. Flippers instead of arms and hands. Thalidomide babies. Yes, we take drugs. And where do these drugs come from? Why, from fearful, frightened, frustrated, upset, worried, emotionally disturbed people, especially mothers, who took tranquilizers. A certain drug called thalidomide. And what did it produce? Twisted little monsters instead of sweet, healthy, normal children. Yes, we run anywhere, don't we, trying to get settled minds. We think it comes in the form of a pill, but it doesn't come out of a pill. It comes out of obeying God's laws of sound-mindedness. Now, he said in verse 27 of this 28th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, the Eternal will smite you with the botch of Egypt and with the emerods and the scab and the itch whereof you cannot be healed. The Eternal will smite you with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. Yes, madness. And these figures, collected by the New Jersey Association for Mental Health and published in a little clipping or a little pamphlet entitled 12 Facts About Mental Illness, and these were compiled by the National Association for Mental Health, and they are certainly shocking when it shows you that right now there are about 750,000 patients in mental hospitals. This is as many as there are in all other hospitals combined. For every patient being treated today for mental illness, we're spending less than $4 a year on research to find new ways of prevention and treatment. But you know, we ought to deal with the cause. We ought to find where it comes from and repent of that cause, get rid of the cause. And then we wouldn't be mentally sick. Remember again, I told you at the outset of this program, at the present rate, sometime, one out of every 12 living Americans will need to go to a mental hospital, at least so say the doctors. at some time in his life with severe mental illness. 10 million Americans in the United States alone. That doesn't include these other nations. Many other countries that have severe mental problems. Look at all the emotional mental disorders in India and in China and in Vietnam and Laos and Cambodia and areas such as that, where you have rank demonism and everything else going on. You know, most patients in state hospitals are being deprived of actual scientific treatment because the hospitals are short in staff and equipment. You know, this clipping said that 3 out of every 4 state mental hospitals are already caring for many more patients than they were built for and have great big waiting lists. You know, the average state mental hospital has only about 6 doctors for every 10 it needs, 3 nurses for every 10 it needs, 3 social workers for every 10 it needs. They're understaffed and overworked. But they're all, remember, dealing with the other end of the thing. They're all dealing with the effects. They're out here dealing with people who are already mentally ill. I'm talking about getting to the root of it, getting to the trunk of the tree, getting to the cause, and not getting mentally disturbed and upset in the first place. Mental illness costing the nation over $1 billion a year in taxation alone. But the pitiful part is not seen by compiling a lot of figures about the money it's costing us, and about the overcrowded conditions in hospitals, and about the lack of doctors and nurses. No, it's pitiful enough to see one living human being whose mind is twisted, distorted, mixed up, and confused, and who isn't able to even think clearly, and who is in absolute agony, mental anxiety, and turmoil. And it doesn't need to be that way. All we would have to do is to come to see that just as God said, because you have forgotten my laws, I will forget your children. We've turned our back on God, he's turned his back on us. We have not liked to retain God in our knowledge. And God isn't giving us the sound minds and the right knowledge that we ought to have because we haven't been looking for it. I've been here all the time and all you've got to do is want it. God talks in his word about those who receive the love of the truth and those who don't. Jesus came bringing the good news of the coming government of Almighty God on this earth. How he is going to rule it with a rod of iron. He's going to bring right thinking. He is going to bring mental health. He's going to show people how to get faith instead of worry, and how to get positive thinking instead of perplexity and fear. And he is going to straighten out this world, and you can be awfully thankful that he's going to do it. Now, in the meantime, you don't need to wait all that long. You can begin to look into your own Bible. You can begin to study these things for yourself. You can begin to get sound thinking. You need to write for this booklet, Does God Exist? That's the place to begin. Is there a God in the first place, and can he depend upon it? Can you prove it? Is it scientifically demonstrable? Can you absolutely prove it? And then all you need to do, too, is write for the booklet on the proof of the Bible, and an article coming along with that automatically on 7 proofs God exists. And then remember this article I announced on how to conquer your fears, and another one on this universal lack of self-confidence. This great universal lack of self-confidence, of the ability to come to right decisions, what is behind it? Here it is in print, simple, easy to read, no problem to understand it at all, and write from your Bible. Write in for them, they're free of charge, no price, and write for this big, thick booklet on Just What Do You Mean? The Kingdom of God, and the one entitled Just What Do You Mean? Salvation. What is it? How do you get it? Why do you need it? A person might say, what? Me be saved? Yes, a good question. What for and from what? This booklet makes it plain. The current number of the Plain Truth magazine, it's all free of charge. There is no price, no request for money. All you need to do is send your request to Herbert W. Armstrong, Box 111, Pasadena, California. That's Herbert W. Armstrong, Box 111, Pasadena, California. Be sure to list the call letters of your station. Until next time, this is Garner Ted Armstrong saying goodbye, friends.
You have heard The World Tomorrow. Send your letters to Herbert W. Armstrong, Post Office Box 111, Pasadena, California.